All right. Hey, Marcus, thank you for being vulnerable, for sharing your story. You are now known, and everybody's going to ask you a gazillion questions, man, but thanks for being vulnerable and sharing that story. Good morning, everybody. If you don't know me, my name is Josh. I have the privilege to be the lead pastor here at Church on the Rock. Marcus is my friend, and I was really excited to hear him share that story and get, honestly, some pieces I never knew about you or your background, but that's really what this whole series that we are in currently is all about. It's about our stories, and it's about our lives, and it's about the direction and the trajectory in which those lives may be going, right? Whether we choose that or not. In fact, that's a great little review for last week. If you missed last Sunday's message, you can certainly, you know, find it on YouTube or connect to it on our website or whatever. But we really have been in this series we're calling decisive direction. This is a word that God gave to our church early this year during a season of 21 days of prayer. And last week we talked very specifically about, you know, that decisive direction that sometimes God like undeniably sends us into a direction. Come on, I think some of us have been there before where it's like you can't ignore it. You're hearing God so loudly through so many different ways. I mean, like commercials are making you think of what he's saying, and like every conversation you're in and every message you hear, song that you listen to, like whatever it is, it's just like, God, I hear you. Okay, yes, fine. I will go in this decisive direction. It's like all I can hear is that. But then there are other times we talked about it where I think we just stand at a crossroads and we're begging God, would you say something, anything? Speak up. I'll do it. I'll go. Come on, right? I think we've been there before as well. And the kind of the premise and the idea last Sunday was that I think that oftentimes God really gives us the freedom to decide our own decisive direction. Like, I think that God, being a good father and raising good children, sometimes says, well, I don't know, you decide. What do you want to do? You can go left or you can go right. I can fulfill my purpose in you if you decisively go this direction. I can fulfill my purpose in you if you decisively go in that direction. And we talked about that, and I heard some great feedback, and really my prayer for our church was that it would just set some people free. My prayer was that people would be like, oh, I can pick? Like, is that why I've heard nothing? Because God's like, well, why don't you decide? You do it. You go for it. And I heard people saying, like, man, that really just did good things for my spirit. Like, yes, I have a sense of peace now that maybe I'm not going to make a wrong decision. Maybe I just get to choose between a couple of good decisions. Maybe it's like that. And so I want to just build on that. I sort of reviewed quickly, just in case you did miss the message, you at least have the idea of what we discussed last week. But I want to go further today. Is that okay? I want to dig, because even though, you know, I could say like, hey, sometimes you just get to choose, and then you do choose, it doesn't end there, it just begins there. So there's more to this, right? It's more progressive than that. So it's not like, oh, thanks for the freedom, I'll just make this decision. Because sometimes those decisions have incredible implications that can be difficult. Like even good change is change. And sometimes even a good decision creates things that are different for us that have such impacts on our lives that a good choice can sometimes bring some difficult times. Is anybody with me? All right, and so that's what I want to get into that this morning. And so if you're a note taker, right in the seat backs in front of you, you can grab some notes. If you're on the front row, it's underneath your chair. And if you're online, welcome. I don't think I greeted you. Welcome, everybody. Church Online, love you guys. The notes should be in the description for you. But I'm going to start today by building a little bit of a case for those of you that might not be as familiar with Bible stories or some of the things that happened in biblical times. I'm going to start today. I'm going to build some context. And I have to start at this iconic, relatively well-known Bible character named Moses. And you've probably heard of him, right? I mean, he was a great leader, and there's been even movies and stuff made about his story or whatever. Moses was the man that God chose. God called him, and he said, you're the guy that's going to go to Egypt. You're going to actually request that all of my people, the Israelite people, who have been held in captivity there for decades, you're going to be the guy that's going to request their release and lead them into freedom. Moses. And he does that. Y'all remember the movies? Yeah. Right? All right, even if you didn't read the story in the Bible, you got the movie? Let my people go. Right? And that would happen. And so then Moses would become this great leader that would lead these people. And really, quite honestly, that time that they left Egypt and before they would cross the Jordan River into what God promised as the promised land, they spent all this time in the wilderness, which almost feels like a waste. Like, my goodness, man, it was a long time. Like, the trip wasn't as long as it took. Come on, how many of you wives been in the car and the trip wasn't as long as it took? Like, just please ask for directions, which might be a little bit more of an older thing because we all could just ask Siri now. You know what I mean? But how many of you guys still sometimes you're like, I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm. I'll remember when I get there. Come on, right? I'll know where to turn. Okay, that has nothing to do with anything we're going to talk about. It was just curiosity. So there's this time they spend in the wilderness, which really is the time that they learned how to live free. So like, we're not slaves anymore. And they learned how to worship God, walk with God, hear from God. So in this process, Moses, like any good leader, is raising up leaders from within. And he raises up this incredible leader by the name of Joshua. And that's the character. That's the star of the show we're going to talk about today, is this great leader, Joshua, who was like the number two. He was the apprentice. He was the protege, like whatever you want to use. He was the one that was being groomed up, that, hey, I'm going to show you how I lead, and you're going to understand. You're going to assist me in all that I do. He just let him on the inside, and I don't know. I don't know if there were, like, you know, business meetings, and he was like, come on in. You know what I mean? Maybe they had a tent with a conference table. I don't really know what it looked like, you guys. All I'm saying is he raised up this great leader, Joshua. That's where I want to pick up the story, because Joshua would be thrust from the number two spot to the number one spot really abruptly. All right, let's pick up the story. Joshua chapter 1, this is the scripture. Hang on, y'all. Let me get this where it worked for all of us. This is a scripture that God has just absolutely been using to speak to my life so powerfully. The Bible tells us that this great leader, Moses, has died. And the Bible says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Just at first glance, when I read this, this feels a little bit like almost harsh to me. Like, hey, Moses, he's not here anymore. It just very simply put, he's dead. But what I don't hear this like is God being insensitive. I don't hear God being like, hey, yo, he's dead. Like, I hear it more like God being a really great coach, like factual, not harsh, just factual. And he says to Joshua, hey, man, Moses is gone. And I love this statement. I wish I could give credit to where I heard it, but the longest distance in the world is the distance between the assistant and the lead. And Joshua is now covering that chasm because he no longer has the safety and the protection of Moses. There are things that Moses probably did that he was never aware of because Moses just did them naturally. And maybe for Joshua, they will have to be like focused intentionality to actually achieve those things. How many of you guys, decades after leaving mom and dad's house, you start to get this awareness that, like, man, they weren't as crazy or stupid as I thought, because there's a protection that mom and dad give in the home that they protect us from things that we never know or understand. Come on, right? Like, I'm trying to resonate with where Joshua might be in this season of his life. And much like Marcus's story, Joshua is in this place where it's like, hey, like it or not, this is the decisive direction. He is not here anymore. Now, I want to put you at ease, because if it still feels harsh to you, the Bible says in the last chapter of Deuteronomy, which would be the book in the Bible just before Joshua, and it is chronological in this place, that Israel had spent a normal 30-day period of mourning over this death. So Joshua had been able to at least spend that amount of time trying to come to terms with this, trying to get a grip on this. But something, it's just my inclination, and I'm not trying to read too much into it, but something just tells me that Joshua had such a deep respect and admiration for Moses that he was lingering in the loss. And then the Lord just speaks up with something that I like good coaches do. Like, they'll tell you, like, hey, like, fix this. Something's got it right. Like, this, I'm an athlete, and I think this way, so I see it this way. But very factual, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you. This is where I feel like the Father's like, I know it's hard. I know that you wish it was like it was. And I know that you have loads of questions about what is next, but we got to go. It's your time now. Let's get these people moving. All right, read along. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. Verse 3, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land that I have given you, ... Now, I skip a little bit here because what happens is that he starts to give some parameters, some actual physical boundaries that wouldn't make as much sense to you and I as it was making sense to them. But I'm not quite sure yet. I'm usually more prepared than this. But next Sunday, we just might talk about them three dots right there. I'm working on that. I don't. We'll see. All right. But let's just, we'll find out next Sunday. How about that? So he gives these parameters. You're going to go across the Jordan River into the promised land, and he gives them the boundaries of what that territory is. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. What a promise. And then he continues by saying, for I will be with you just like I was with Moses. So there's reassurance. Remember how great Moses was? Remember the respect you had, all that stuff? Like, I'm going to be with you exactly the way I was with him. And then I love this, that I will not fail you or abandon you. So just let's just take a second and let's just think about these promises from God. God, in like world-class coaching way, gets with his player. He's like, hey, facts are this. I know it's not great, but this is actual. We got to go. We can't stay here forever. We can't mourn forever. We can't sit in this place forever. There's still a mission. Let's go get this mission done. I'm trying to move these people to a place. Come on, the time has come. Now's the time. I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't have emotion. None of those things are being said. He's just simply saying, let's get moving. And then he gives them all this confidence. Wherever you set your foot, man, it's going to be yours. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I'll never fail you, never abandon you. I got your back. Isn't that nice? Isn't that reassuring? That's the end of verse 5. Verse 6, here we go. Take you to the very next thing God would say. And then he says, be strong and courageous. For you're the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. Verse 7, be strong, very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left, and then you will be successful in everything you do. Verse 8, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Verse 9, this is my command. Anybody notice this is the verse of the day this morning? Come on, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. And I'd like to say it like I said it last week, wherever you go, I'm with you. Listen, I just find it a little bit interesting. Strength and courage is what we're going to talk about today. I find it really, really interesting that God comes to Joshua and he's saying all these confident things. It's your time. You're the guy. I got your back. I'll never leave you. The same things you saw me doing in Moses, you're going to see me doing in you. I'm going to use you in the same way. You're the leader. I mean, he just pumps them up. And then he repetitively says, now, be strong and courageous. Hey, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. And I find that interesting because what I've started to understand and what I feel like God is showing me is that even sometimes a decisive direction, the peace, to know that like this is it. This maybe God is overwhelmingly calling you to something else, or maybe God's giving you the freedom to choose. Just because it is in fact the decisive direction doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And I think we all could admit that new things can require some strength and some courage. When you move to the new city, It could be exciting. It really could be. There could be great opportunity there. But you know what? It's going to be different because now you don't know the mechanic that you can trust. And now you don't know the back streets that save you 6 minutes every day to your commute to the office. And you know what? When you get into that new school with those new friends, and you're at that point where it's like, but I loved my friends back home. And I would love to have spent the rest of my life building those relationships. And now I'm thrust into a whole new environment and a whole new people and a whole new culture. And I don't know what it's going to be like here. New things can be very, very difficult. The new job, even though it might give you the promotion and the enthusiasm and the joy of new opportunity, it isn't. In fact, new. And now there's new relationships to manage and new expectations on you, and there are different bosses to please, and there's a different culture to discover, and new things can require some strength and some courage, can they not? It could be the new medicine that they say, listen, there's not a lot of background on this stuff, but we're trying some things, and we actually really believe this could be pretty effective for you. And so if you're willing, we would actually like to run this play, and we would like to run it on your body. And there's a part of you that's like, you think it's going to help me? Yes, we do. Well, that's exciting, but you don't have a lot of like data? No, we don't. Well, that is going to require strength and courage. Oftentimes it can be the loss of somebody, right? It's like they're gone. And it's like, hey, like it or not, this is the new direction. And anything new requires strength and courage. Statement, you've heard it. This is not my statement. I like many things, I stole it from some brilliant mind. Here we go, but I want you to write it. And the statement is this, that courage isn't the absence of fear, but action in spite of it. Amen. This is what courage would look like. So it's not that because God is with me and he'll never leave me or forsake me, that I'm not afraid of the unknown. It's that I trust him enough to have some action in spite of what I'm afraid of. It's that I actually say, okay, God, I'm going to leave the security of this job for the security of the next job. Okay, God, I'm going to let them try this on me in the hopes that it will work out for me. Okay, I will have to figure out life without them. You know, like I never thought that it would be a new relationship for me, but here it is, and I don't know if this person will ever measure up to the husband that I had and I'll forever love and that I missed, but God, he's no longer with me. But this guy seems to be pretty special, and you just might be that lady saying, I'm nervous about all this, but it's not that I'm not afraid. It's that maybe, God, I'll trust you enough to just be about massive amounts of action anyway. This is the decisive direction, and I want to walk in it. Are you guys tracking with me this morning? Okay, but there's a secret. There's a secret, and it was packed right inside the verses we read. And as I thought about it, and I just prayed about it, like, God, I know that you're showing me things in this, and I've been preaching out of the first chapter of Joshua for, like, a lot of years, at least 20, at least. Love this story, love this leader. To my knowledge, I was named after this leader, right? So it means a lot to me. Anyway, there's an odd story behind that, But there's a secret that's packed inside of these verses that we just read about this new season and this decisive direction and what God would speak into the life of this leader, Joshua. And here's what I want you to see right here. The eighth verse, he says, you need to study this book of instruction continually. Can I put this, my own language on this? He says, hey, there's nothing more important than my word. Like the Bible. I just want to make sure we're clear about what I'm talking about. Because he says, I want you to meditate on it day and night so that you'll be sure to obey everything that's written in it. Watch now. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Amen. And so, all right, let me give you another one. Let me just give you another one. Psalm 119, 105, King David said, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. It's the key to my decisive direction. And I feel like in this little chapter with Joshua, this leader who's stepping into something new, there's a decisive direction that's given to his life that, hey man, you're the one, now's your time, we gotta go. Tell these people to soldier up, get their gear, let's cross the river. I'm taking them where I've been promising them to go, and you're gonna be the one that gets them there. Now be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. He says it three times, and then later at the very end of chapter one, if you read it, someone else says it to him. They're like, we're with you, man. We got your back. We trust you. You're a good leader. Oh, P.S. Be strong and courageous. This stuff ain't easy. But tucked right inside is a secret. And the secret is, if you'll trust my word above everything else, if you'll meditate on my words, if you'll hide my words, as the psalmist said, in your heart, you might not sin against me. Meaning, my word will keep you aligned with me. You want to be successful? You want to be successful? Keep my word deep inside of you. Get scripture and tuck it away in your heart. Learn how I think and how I operate and the way that I deal with people, and learn the things that I would call you to do. Learn the things that I would call you not to do. Learn the way that I might treat others. Learn the way that I believe about you. This is the place that you're going to find your identity. This is the place that you're going to find your freedom. This is the place that you'll find your playbook, your direction. It's in my word. And if you'll be sure to observe everything written in it, only then will you be successful, prosperous in all that you do. Because, you can write this down with me, because God's word is the only word that can govern us to success. It's the only word that can take us to success. And so here's what I think happens. I think that too often times we stand at a crossroads of decisive direction. Or we stand at a precipice where God's like, come on. I know it's not easy, but you're going to need some strength and courage. We got to go. And what we've got to remind ourselves is that it's the word of God that's going to govern us toward success. And too often times we sit stagnant. Like, am I wrong? Am I doing the wrong thing? I don't want to do the wrong thing. God, I just don't want to step in the wrong direction. But God's like, well, if you have my word hidden in your heart, you'll always be aligned with me. Because listen to me, it's not exactly the task itself. It's the heartbeat behind the task. Okay, so let me pedal here for just a second, because let me give you some silly examples. Can I? Silly examples. I've almost given up on TV completely, but I'm in love with YouTube. it's my thing. All right, I love it. I love you. I have fixed more things, learned more knickknacks. It is unbelievable, man. Like, I'm pretty sure I can bake a cake because of YouTube. That is not true. But I'll bet you if I watched enough of those videos, I could bake a cake. It's unbelievable the things that it helps me to learn. But I also like to be entertained. I'm like anybody else. I like to be entertained. And so there are certain little things that I watch on YouTube. Like, I'm a follower, so to speak, of certain, like, channels. Am I using the right vernacular here? Channels. And so there's a few of them that I watch, and like, whatever, you can make fun of me, it doesn't matter to me, I am who I am. One of them is all about late model dirt track racing. Awesome. Amen. You didn't even know. That's a drug that Pastor Josh has to keep a healthy distance from, y'all, I'm telling you right now. You take me to the local dirt track, I can turn countryer than you've ever seen in your life. Anyway, I love dirt track racing. I think it's fun, and there's a particular group of guys that I watch, and that's what they do. They race late model dirt cars. There's some guys that I love to watch, and they're deer hunters, and they hunt all across the country, and I watch them and study their techniques, and I learn their little principles, and I watch how they scout, and I'm educated, and I'm entertained. I'm a better hunter today because I watch these guys on TV. There's all kinds of things, right? And there's a few of them that I like to follow. And I've noticed that one of them they're hunters, and they overtly declare their faith in Christ Jesus right on their channel. Like, they'll just talk. They don't care. If you're not into that, that's okay with them, but that's who they are, and they don't, like, pull us an ounce of it out. If they want to pray, they just pray. If they want to give glory and credit to God for helping them to be successful, they just do it, and they, like, that's who they are. And what they've done is they've taken this passion point that they have, and they've used it to communicate the hope of Jesus to other people. So they don't work at a church. They don't run around and, like, stand on corners with speaker boxes and declare that you turn or burn. Like, that's not their method. That's also not our message. Amen. That's not what you... Okay. It's the goodness of God, the Bible says, that leads people to repentance. Okay? But what they did is they chose a decisive direction. We're going to put together a channel built around hunting, and we'll just talk about the hope of Jesus in the midst of it all. Now, this other group that I like to watch in the dirt track cycle, they don't, like, I've never heard them say we're Christians. I've never seen them pray. But I notice all kinds of little things, like, never do I hear them cussing. On the back of every one of their race cars, on some very coveted real estate, like, for sponsorships, because they are known around the dirt tracking world, they do not give up the rear spoiler. It says Jesus Lives in giant letters. Now, they could probably get some sponsorship dollars to put something else there. No, Jesus Lives. So every time they beat you, they just remind you. I'm just kidding. I find that comical. But anyway, man, I need to move for time. I notice in their videos that they will oftentimes capture the prayer before the races. Prayer's in there. They're not praying, but prayer's in there. And they talk about character and conduct. They don't fight with people. They compliment other people. Like, and so what I see is, I'm about 100% sure these dudes love Jesus. They have a particular method that they communicate that. That's a little softer, it's a little easier, but it's there. It's there. Okay, why would you talk about your YouTube interest, Pastor Josh? Because listen to me, and this may sound terrible, but I want to say it. Like, stop over-spiritualizing everything. What are you into? What do you love? What's God caused you to be good at? What passions do you have? Now the question is, how can you decisively make a decision? This is the direction that I'm going to go. This is what I'm going to pursue. I'm going to bring who I am. Like, I cannot separate who I am. Jesus lives in here, so Jesus comes out of here. It's just what I do. It's the way that I live, and I don't mean to offend anybody, and I'm not trying to be hard or whatever. I'm trying to be inclusive and inviting. It's just who I am. So what do you do? What do you do that you can just bring the love of God into, and it can influence other people? Because it can happen around your work or your hobbies. It can happen because you feel a passion to go serve something and you don't have any experience and you don't know what to do, but there's just something in you that's like, this is the direction that I want to go. This is what I feel called to do. Like, this could be your decisive direction. And even as exciting as it may be, it's risky. And it's going to require some strength and some courage, because people might push back, people might not like it, people might criticize, you might try some things and fail a few times, you might think that, man, starting that church is like the thing that I really want to do, and it's definitely what God's calling me to do, but like, you can see that it's a process, and I don't have any people, and I don't have any resources, and I don't know how to ever get there. It's going to require some strength and courage. I hope I'm preaching to somebody. I really do. Because yes, God may in fact give you the freedom to choose a decisive direction that can be about anything that you can bring the hope of Jesus into. You get to choose the method, but it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And even though God may have given you promises that I got your back, I'm with you wherever you go, don't you worry, I'm with you, it doesn't mean you're not going to be tested. It doesn't mean that you're going to have action in spite of your fear. It doesn't mean that you're going to see the whole path all the way to the destination. You might be guessing and hoping and like, I think this step's right. Let's go find out. You might fail, fall, scuff your knees. You might have a mistake. You know how many mistakes I've made? This is awful. You know how many mistakes I've made as a leader in my ignorance? Not trying to. I just didn't know better. As a leader, that hurt people, it wounded people. And it was like, in hindsight, it's like, had I known, I'd have never done it that way. I'd have never made that decision, but I didn't know. And I'm gonna tell you right now, those are the moments I need strength and courage. Strength to like be okay to keep moving on and courage to try some things again, because I feel like every week I'm courageously going, I don't really know, but let's try this. Let's go for that. Hey, we probably need to have that tough conversation with that person. Or hey, we probably need to find a spot for this person. They're so faithful. They're so, you know, like whatever it is. But sometimes strength and courage in the midst of the decisive direction is going to be required. In fact, I think it's always going to be required. I'm almost done right here. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Look at these factual statements. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything with love. Do everything with love. Do everything with love. Do everything with love. Because God is love, His word will always guide us toward loving action. Always. So when we're standing at the precipice of decision and we're freaking out because we don't want to know what to do, and we're so afraid that like, I don't want to mess this up. God, I just don't want to be wrong. Action. Man, if I've got the word of God hidden in my heart, if I keep the truth of the Bible at the center of who I am, the Bible says that what goes into the heart comes out of the mouth. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If I can get the word of God in a place in my life that I meditate in it, I live in it, I study it, I learn it, I figure it out, I ask questions, I determine, I'm not going to use that it's thick and I don't know where to start as an excuse. I'm not going to use the excuse of like, I didn't grow up in church, I don't get it. No. I am going to figure out. I will be proactive and have massive amounts of action, and I will get the word of God digested into who I am, because I want to be prosperous and I want to be successful and I want to be able to have moments where I'm strong and I'm courageous in the spite of my fear and the unknown and in spite of myself sometimes and in spite of circumstances sometimes, like I'm going to do it. And if I've got God's word in me, I'll have the love of God coming out of me. It'll permeate from everything I do. Everything I do. The secret is the word of God in the life of the believer. I'm going to end right here, because really we talked about how new things can be difficult. Can I end with a story just real fast? I have a friend, and this for me was like a really great sort of like an aha moment, his perspective, because I grew up in church. My grandfather was a pastor. I have an uncle that was a pastor. I went to 10 years of an amazing private school that taught me the word of God. I've been preaching since I was a teenager. I mean, active in, like, just all the time, saturated in it. It was awesome. It was awesome. And I thank God for it. But, like, that's my perspective. That's what I know. I have this friend, and I remember when he committed his life to Christ. And he didn't grow up like I grew up. He just grew up in like a very normal, like good family. They just didn't like the church thing, and following God just wasn't a part of their story. But he found the truth and the hope of Jesus, and he just gave his life to it. He received the free gift of salvation as his own for himself as a man, like as a grown up. And I remember sometime later talking to him. He was in a life group with me. And he shared something that I thought, gosh, man, I never would have thought of that. But he said, I'm going to tell you right now, when I started following Jesus, I began to walk through the loneliest season of my life. And I'm like, what? Like, I honestly was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, here's the deal. Like, I knew that I had made a lifestyle change, heart change. So I had to like leave the circles and the friends and the people that I used to run with, because I knew they weren't going to take me there. But I hadn't met y'all yet. Like, I was at the church, but we weren't doing life like this together. So for me to forsake these friendships, I hadn't yet built these. And I walked through this valley of loneliness, and it just was like, never would have thought of that. Never. I've always had Christian brothers and sisters around me my whole life. Like, how lucky am I? And I was like, man, I never would have thought of that. And I just thought right there, strength and courage. New things are good. Sometimes new things are scary. And sometimes new things require strength and courage. So listen, if you're here today listening to this message online, 2 Corinthians makes a promise. And it says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a, come on, what are they? A new person. This is the beauty of the promise and the hope of Jesus. This is the message of salvation. It's the gospel. But sometimes new things require strength and courage. The old life is gone. Moses, my servant, is dead. It's time to move on from here because a new life has begun. And all I want to do is invite you. All I want to do is invite you to make a decision to start walking with Jesus, whoever that may be. Now, you may be here this morning, you're like, well, I've never done that. Okay, well, today is your day. It's your moment. You might be here today and you say, you know what, I just need to like do it again. I just need to sort of realign. I need to step back in. Come on, right? Like, I need to recommit and get into a place. So this moment's for you. So whether you're tuning in online, listening to a playback, or sitting in this building, I'd love for everybody just to bow your heads, close your eyes. I just want you to give your attention to the Father right now. I don't even want you to tune out if you're receiving this digitally. Stay with us. This is the most important thing we do right here. We lead people into a moment of decision for life change, and I want to lead you in a prayer. So if that's you and you're like, I need to have some strength and some courage because I'm about to begin a new journey, I want to pray with you. Now, church, you know how we do it? Ask everybody to say this prayer because some people might say it today for the first time, and I want them to say it with total confidence and total strength. Father, oh, you're so good. You're so good. God, I just pray you move in this moment. I pray that today be the day of salvation for somebody, and I pray when they begin their new life, they would step into the strength and the courage that's required to do new things for us. Lord God, as you call us in decisive directions, give us the strength and the courage to walk those out, Lord God, in a way that is pleasing and honorable to you. Help us, Father, to get your word hidden deep within our hearts. Lord God, help us to meditate on it day and night because we do, in fact, want to be prosperous and successful in all that we do. We want to be fruitful. We want to impact people's lives with the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord God, because it, in fact, has the power to save. So, Father, we just pray this prayer over us, Lord God. Help us to have strength and courage. Now, if you are making a decision to start a new life in Christ today, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Come on, let's give God some praise for those who made that decision. Love you guys.